Man, again, so much has been said already this morning, but we hope this. This is our hope as a church. We hope that you don't come in and just play church. We hope that you don't just come in and say, I did my thing on my Sunday to go to church is what we do. We go to church on Sunday, and that's my thing. But we really believe that we walk in this place as a family and as a community, and there's so much more that takes place than just this hour and a half. There's so much more that takes place. There's relationships, and there's community, and then there's the what it means to give financially, what it means to give in worship. And then I come to this part, that we receive the word. And in that, there's challenge in that, and there's conviction in that, and there's change in that, and there's joy in that, and there's this whole truth of what it means. Watch this now, what it means to walk out different from when we came in. And that's not just playing church. That's going in, going, man, Lord, change me. Help me to receive something today that I walk out more in love with you. Help me to walk out more in tune with you, understanding your word more, knowing, watch this now, knowing that when I came to know you, there was a change on the inside that affects the outside. Because when we call ourselves Christians, when we call ourselves followers of Christ, there is a change that takes place in salvation on the inside. Watch this now. Be careful now, because if there's a change on the inside, it should be evident on the outside. And today is one of those days we're going to see, where is the change? We're in this series called Lead with Grace. And man, it is my hope that through this series we're walking out going, man, do I lead with grace? Do I lead my marriage with grace? Do I lead my children with grace? Do I lead my team with grace? Do I follow my boss with grace? Do I go into the grocery store with grace? Do people know me as a graceful person? Because we need to kick this message off and going, like, because there's just been this thing that's been going through my heart for a while now, going, okay, if we were going to do a poll of people, do you know any Christians? And I mean Christians not in the loose term of Christian today. I'm talking about a biblical Acts Christian where it was first mentioned in Acts. And at the time, it wasn't a compliment. At the time, it was those who were not followers of Christ who identified a group of people as Christians, which means like the Christ or little Christ. I identify you because you act like just like him. And at the time, it wasn't a compliment. So I mean a biblical Christian, like we act like Jesus, like I've confessed my sin, I've repented, I've turned from wickedness, and I've accepted the work of the cross and salvation that Jesus truly is the way maker. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. I'm a Christian by blood because of the work of the cross. I'm born again. That Christian. Well, if we were to take a poll, hey, and I'm talking about our region because I love our region. God has planted us in this region on purpose. Hey, do you know any Christians? Well, yeah, I think I know some. Do you know them by their love? Well, I know that at times they can be judgmental. I know at times they like to fight within a lot. There's always churches talking about other churches. That's what I know. I know that at times they can think that they're up here and they think everyone else is down there. I don't know if I can say I know them by their love. What would you say? They're kind. Do you love them coming into your store? Do you're a boss, man. Do you know people who work for you as Christians? Do you love having them as employees? I don't know if there's actually any difference. Church, what happens when we're in a series like this and we're coming to a place to really ask ourselves the deep question, do I lead with grace? Do people understand kindness because of you? Because we're going to see an Old Testament story this morning. An Old Testament story, and you can turn there, please, 2 Samuel 9. And this is an amazing, amazing story. There's so many great stories in the Old Testament, but it's one that resonates with me because it deals with friendship and it deals with loyalty and it deals with relationships and it deals with covenant and it deals with vows to be made. where families benefit from vows that dads make. And this story just speaks to me. I love this story. And I love that even this weekend, you know, Renee and I are on our 26th year anniversary this weekend, and we celebrated, went to Buffalo, had a great time for a night, and it was wonderful to just get away and just to know and to remember covenant, a vow that was made 26 years ago. In sickness and in health, till death do us part. I give you my promise as God is my witness. That's what we said to each other. So this morning we talk about not a marriage covenant, but the reality of what a covenant meant, that David, who was one who really understood what it meant to be a loyal person to a friend in Jonathan. And this story just screams of a grace and a kindness that he extends. And my heart is like, God, are we known by grace? Do people know us to be kind? Do people know us to be graceful people? Do people know us by our love for one another? Because the Bible screams that if there is a true change on the inside, there will be a true change on the outside. And what happens? Church, what would happen? We just get this nugget today that we've got for the last several weeks. And next week, we close this out next week. I'm so juiced for next week. That we truly come to a place to see. Next week, we truly come to a place to see a grace that God has for you and I. And really come to a place to understand, is it too good to be true? You're telling me that for by grace I have been saved, but it is not that the hard pounding of the judgment of the hatred of God, but it was actually a grace. And listen, grace in its simplest form, watch this now, it can't be earned. You don't deserve it, and you can never pay it back. But yet God showed such grace on you and I for the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. I ask myself the question, is it too good to be true? And that's next week, man. I'm so juiced to close this out next week with, is it too good to be true? And we find ourselves in this story this morning. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, please give us ears to hear today, that we would just truly hear from you today, acknowledge you. God, your word is alive and powerful. It will not come back void. Speak into our life today, right now. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that would respond to your word today. Help us to see ourselves in this today. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Here we go. Everybody say Mephibosheth. That's funny. Mephibosheth. Let's say that again. Mephibosheth. For the sake of all of us in the room, his name is now Mphib, okay? We're going with Mphib today, right? Because, I mean, when I tell you the truth, is how many times I've read this story. I love this Old Testament story. I'm up at night trying to figure out Mephibosheth, and I still get it. It's a tongue tire, but it is Mephibosheth. That's the name. That's how you pronounce it. Mephibosheth. That's the proper enunciation. But for the sake of today and all of us in, And honestly, when I say I was up at night going Mephibosheth, 3 a.m., Mephibosheth, I just really think it's important to get it right. But we're going with Mphib, okay? That's his name today. And we're speaking about David and Mphib. And we're speaking about a relationship that David had with Jonathan. And we start with a relationship that David had with Jonathan. And it was this relationship that David had that he cut a covenant with Jonathan. We'll get through it in a minute. I just want to start this. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Here we go. Then David said, is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I may, watch this now, I may show him kindness? And this word kindness, Old Testament, it means favor. It means goodness. And it is a grace equivalent of New Testament grace. Right? So we're getting this picture of grace in the Old Testament, and this word kindness is an equivalent of grace in the New Testament. So here it is. That I may show him kindness or show him grace. For what? For Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake. Now there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there yet not anyone of the house of Saul to whom, watch this now, I may show the kindness of God? That's huge. That I may show him the kindness of mankind. Sometimes it's not all that kind. Is there anyone that I may show him kindness according to the way I want to show kindness? Now, I love where David's heart is here. He says, listen, hey, Ziba, is there anyone of David's house for the sake of Jonathan that I may show that that's the expression outward, right? Change inside results in evidence of a change outside, that I may show him the kindness of God. Come on, flip with me. First Samuel, please. Keep your finger in 2 Samuel 9, 1 Samuel chapter 20. Because we're going to get into something so important this morning. This afternoon. In regards to a relationship that caused this to happen. A relationship that David had with Jonathan. And here we know, you know, most have heard on repeat the story of King Saul. King Saul, Jonathan is King Saul's son. King Saul, David was a part of King Saul. David was a hero in the time of Israel. David was a hero. King Saul got jealous of David being a hero. King Saul was filled with hatred and wanted to kill David. And here Jonathan's kind of caught in the middle. Jonathan is the son of Saul, but yet Jonathan is very close with David. And they built this friendship that was built on not of a Facebook friendship, right? We think we have a lot of friends on Facebook or whatever. Oh, they liked me. They're my friend. Not that. Not that. But you're going to see some depth to this relationship. You're going to see some covenant and vow to this relationship. The church, listen, if you have one, two, or at the max, even three people in your life that you say, I have that in my life, you're blessed. We truly do at times live in this superficial world that we think we have all of these friends, and then when the dirt hits the road, there's just nobody there. And you come to a place to quickly realize how many friends I really have that have been loyal through it all. And you come to this place, we see this friendship, and I love this. We pick it up in 1 Samuel 20. It says this, verse 13. And if it pleases my father to do you harm. And here they're going in this question like, does my dad want to kill you? I don't know. I think he does. And Jonathan's like, I'm kind of on the fence about it. I don't know if he really wants to kill you. And David's like, I'm pretty sure he kind of threw spears at me. He's not a fan of me. And Jonathan's like, yeah, maybe he's having a bad day. And they're like on this teeter-totter. And Jonathan's like, all right, I'll square it up. If I know that my father is going to kill you, I'll let you know. David's like, good plan, right? Here we go. This is what it says, verse 14. If I am still alive, will you not show me the kindness, the loving kindness? It's the same Greek word. I'm sorry, the same Hebrew word for the kindness of God. Will you, listen, if I go through all of this, and if I ever die, and that would you not show that loving kindness? It's that same word that we see in 2 Samuel 9. It's the same word. It says this, will you show me the loving kindness of the Lord? Again, it's God's loving kindness. It's a grace that they know from being in relationship and having that reverence and that fear of God from that Old Testament reverence and fear, that I may not die. You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever. See, watch this. He's like, listen, even if I die, I'm asking that we would make an agreement that loving kindness that you know from God, that loving kindness that you know from the Lord, that would never, ever be cut off from my household, even in my absence. That would never be cut off from my household. For how long? Forever. Watch this. Not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant. Here it is. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. Verse 42 says this, Jonathan said to David, go in safety, as much as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord will be between me and you and be between my descendants and your descendants forever. I love this because this is a foundation of what takes place years from now. 1 Samuel and then 2 Samuel, there's years difference here. And within those years, you've got Jonathan and you've got Saul. This is father, son. You've got father who is the king. You've got Jonathan who is the next heir apparent as a prince. But yet the Lord has anointed David. David's going to be king. So now you've got Jonathan. This is crazy, right? You've got Jonathan who understands his dad is going to take out David. And here Jonathan's like, I'm kind of in the in-between here, but I need to make a covenant with David going, as long as you live, as long as I live, and if there's one death on your part or if I die, we're going to make an agreement, a vow, that forever between the Lord, we will take care of each other's families. That just so happens to be that King Saul and Jonathan went out to battle and they got killed in battle. And Samuel 4:4, 2 Samuel 4:4 says that in the midst of them being killed in battle, that the caretaker of Amphib, who was at 5 years old at this point, when dad died and when granddad died, Amphib was 5 years old. And the caretaker knew, hey, father and grandfather are dead. And it was custom for those who killed the king and any next apparent would go looking for any son of the king or any son of any of the sons of the king to try to take them out as well. And she scooped up this five-year-old and she began to run to safety for whatever happened, whether she tripped, fell on him, dropped him. The case is that she did drop him and Amphib at 5 years old crippled both of his legs for life. And then here we pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 9 again. And this is, some time has passed, and this is David. He's been king for a little while, and he's been on an absolute terror in regards to conquering. He goes into a land and he wins. He goes into a land and he takes land. He goes into a land and conquers land. He quite possibly at this moment in 2 Samuel chapter 9 is the most powerful man on the planet. He's just taking land in the name of the Lord. And at this moment, he is on the highest of high, probably the most powerful man on earth. And then he remembers. This is beautiful. And David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Listen, I remember years ago I made a covenant with my friend John. And even in the highest of his game, he remembers a covenant that he made with a friend. He remembers a vow. Listen, even in my death, as the Lord is between us. The Lord is what ties us together. Take care of my house. So David comes to this place going, hey, is there anyone? And then Ziba, which was a servant of Saul, the king, says, hey, there's one. Verse 3, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. Listen, he's lame. King, he has no function to you whatsoever. He's not, listen, even though he has royalty in him, even though his grandfather was King Saul, his dad Jonathan could have become king, but yet the Lord anointed David as king. There was royalty within Amphib. He had royalty in him. But he didn't stand tall as royalty. He had both feet were crippled and he was put into a place where he was adopted by another family. And the Bible says David's like, well, where is he? He's down in the land of Lo Debar. And lo debar, when you break that up, it means, lo means no, debar means pasture, or it means no thing, or no income. There's no pasture for income. Lo debar is this no place from nowhere holding this crippled young man, who's now a young man. And David's like, listen, go get him. You understand something? It's custom. Please hear this, man. I love the history here. It's custom for a king who takes over to go in and wipe out all the remaining family of the past king's reign. So there's no way that they come back and try to take over the kingship. That was normal practice. So you could imagine when David's regime shows up at Lo Debar, this place that's a place of nothing, a place of no pasture, a place of no income, where you've got now Mephibosheth, who's in this place going, well, I think they found me now. Has he come to do what every other king does? Has he come to take my life? Does he look at me? Does he really think I'm going to take over the kingdom? I'm not king-like at all. And I love it because we see where he's brought back to the palace. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. Watch this now. For the sake of your father, Jonathan. Could you imagine where Mephib is in this place of fear? And David says, listen, do not fear. Mephib comes in and he falls before the king. Does he think his head's going to roll? Does he know that he's the last remaining of Jonathan and last remaining of Saul? And all of a sudden he hears these words. Hey, do not fear. For the sake of your dad, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because I made a covenant with your father. Because I made a vow years ago that I intend to keep. Amphib, you've got nothing to fear. Watch this. For David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, that you shall eat at my table regularly. Listen, I'm not only not going to kill you, but I made a promise to your dad that I'm going to take care of you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take care of you so much so that all the land that belonged to your grandfather, I'm giving to you. All the resources that were his are now yours. In church, this is huge. This is huge. Everything that he had, yours. And listen, I'm going to go one step further. Because of my relationship with your dad, I'm going to treat you like a son. And you're going to eat at my table. I think if we put ourselves in this story properly, we look at our father who said, listen, Sean, I'm going to adopt you as a son. I'm going to take you on as my own. And I think sometimes our response, and I'm not going to get into too much because of next week, but our response could be one, is it too good to be true? Is it too good to be true? Because look at Mephib's response here. It's amazing. Verse 8, and again he prostrated himself. Mephib came to a place to go down on the ground before King David, he says this, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? I'm nothing. Listen, nothing works down here. I come from no place with no name, no pasture, nothing. I'm like a dead dog to you. Who am I that you would do this to me? It's called grace. I know, Amphib, listen, I know you don't deserve this. You haven't done anything to earn this. And I know that you can never pay me back. But it has nothing to do with you. It actually has everything to do with somebody else. Your dad. You have no say in this game. This was something that your dad did for you years ago. And all you need to do is just sit at my table. Enjoy your grandfather's land. Is it too good to be true? You're really not going to kill me? And I'm like, Lord, you're really not going to judge me? Because you've been covered in blood. I see Jesus. He was judged on your behalf. Sean, this has nothing to do with you. You can't earn this. Sean, you certainly don't deserve this. And Sean, there's nothing that you can do to pay me back. But I'm inviting you as a son to sit at my table. Is that just too good to be true? Until you know. Real grace. I belong to him. I'm his. And it is by grace that I have been saved. It has nothing to do with me. It was the work of Jesus Christ on a cross for me. So, church, what's it look like when you and I walk out of this place today? Do we ooze grace? Because we have been grace recipients. Do we ooze grace? Kindness. Love. When someone says, "Do you know any Christians?" Actually, I do. You know what, I don't really agree with everything that they believe in. I don't really know what they do, but they really seem to come across as they actually care for me. And I think they really love me. It's weird. They don't even know me. And they have this kindness or this grace about them that I haven't seen. Shouldn't that define us? Shouldn't it? Because you and I have been recipients of that grace, shouldn't we go into this community and conquer in a sense of love and grace? Do you know any Christians? Actually, I do. I know this person. Wouldn't it be amazing that it's not that they would agree with us at this point? We want them to come to know Christ. But wouldn't it be amazing that that's what brings them in? That there's a change on the inside that is evidence on the change on the outside, that you and I walk around in love and you and I walk around in grace, that we are bearers of love and bearers of grace, to know that you and I are called to be ambassadors of God through Christ, that we represent one who is not ourselves, that we represent and speak on the behalf of Christ. Wouldn't it be amazing? Church, wouldn't it be amazing if we walk in great change? To say it's about to happen. There's going to be change in our region. And we will be people who walk out of this place. Do you know any Christians? I do. And I want them on my staff. And I want them in my workplace. I want them as my neighbors. I want to see them in the grocery store. Why? Because these people know what love is. These people know what grace is. I want these Christians around me. Wouldn't that be amazing? But I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. So today's kind of a call for change. Because you can't receive grace and not give grace. You can't receive love and not give love. Oh man, we want people to come to Christ. And it might take a while. Real quick, this just happened today. Matt and I, we have a friend over here at Tractor Supply. For 2 years, we've been asking her to come to church. 2 years. She was huge on helping us when we were putting the castle together. She was huge. The Tractor Supply blessed us, and they're very generous and did some things for us. And we've been, every time we go in there together, it's a show. But every time we go in individually, man, we're just showing kindness and love. When you want to change the atmosphere of the place you go into. And today she walks out for the first time. 2 years. She walks out in tears. And I can't even explain what just happened. Church, even if it takes time, it's worth it. It's worth it. This is who we are supposed to be. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. I want to invite somebody to next week, please. Don't miss next week. Is it too good to be true? Now we're going to define that it's just the simplicity of the love of God, that He extends His grace for you and I, and what it means for us to buy into that. Life changing. So good next week. What has God by His Spirit spoke to you today, right now? Did you ooze grace? If people know that you are a born-again believer who loves Jesus, do they say, I want to be around that person? They just ooze kindness. And what happens when you, and I'm blessed because I have a few people, men in my life that I would say they are loyal. I can have a vow and covenant with these men. And there's only a few. And I feel I'm over the top blessed with just a few. What's it speak about the loyalty of a relationship? Maybe you've forgotten. You come back to a place to say, no, 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 no. Maybe you come back to a place to covenant. What has God spoke to you today? Let's just take a moment and define that in your heart.